Blog Talk Radio.
Living in the moment. Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter. I am back. I went away for a week or so to convocation, Holy Convocation of the Church of God in Christ. And I had to dance with St. Judah first. And so when I came back, I was just severely exhausted. But I'm back with you tonight, and I got some more of your questions that I want to answer. So I want to welcome Pastor Porter back. Welcome, Pastor Porter.
Well, God bless you and welcome. Thank you, thank you.
Pastor C. Okay, so we have some questions because, you know, you give such detailed answers to some, most of the questions, we aren't always able to get to the, all of the questions. So I have a few more today, and we want to see if we can get those answered, and then we'll go on from there. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. We got some really, let me just say first, a lot of emotional questions. And so I guess during the holiday seasons, there are some issues that need to be addressed. And so I took those questions, and I'm going to ask you those. So let's try to get those out of the way first.
Sounds good.
So someone wants to know, how do you deal with a broken heart during these holiday seasons? This holiday season.
Well, I would say, I venture to say, I doubt that there's very much difference dealing with a broken heart the other 364 days of the year. Let me first quote a scripture, declare it and decree it over their lives, where Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted." And I just want to pause right there, because by virtue that that's the first thing that he says he's anointed to do, it certainly has some relevancy and significance to him.
Okay.
So, having said that, the first thing a person needs to do with a broken heart, and sometimes it is the last, is to run to the Lord. Fall down on your knees naturally. Fall down on the knees of your soul and seek the one who is the binder up of the broken heart. Amen. That's the first part of the answer. The other is when you scrape yourself up off the floor, when you pull yourself up out of your depression, when you get your crying towel and wipe all your tears away, you have to look yourself in the mirror and declare who you are and whose you are. It really starts in the mind. When you look at yourself, determine who you are, whose you are, and then speak to yourself. You can't always rely on anybody else. Very often we don't, when your heart is broken or you're in distress, upset, you don't even want to talk about it. You don't want to tell anybody how bad it is, how badly you feel.
Right.
But you have to make a conscious decision not to let a broken heart define you, whereas you can become bitter and mean, withdrawn, and, you know, that's the devil's playground. You just get right on in and just tap to all in your mind, tap to all in your head, about, you know, you're not worthy, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, or maybe you've lost a loved one through death and you're all by yourself. Oh, he'll just talk to you real good. But I would admonish, first take it to the Lord and make a conscious decision that he is a healer. He will lift your head up and bring back the pieces of the broken heart. Even if it's been smashed, as it were, to powder, he can speak the word. He can heal you. And you have to be open and receptive to that healing. Find somebody who's laughing and smiling. Go with them. Find somebody who's singing and clapping. Busy yourself with them. Don't isolate yourself. Don't stay by yourself. Get with some happy folks, some folks that support you, some folks that will co-sign on what I'm saying, that our God is a healer, body, soul, heart, and our minds. I hope that helps.
So I want to ask you a question. I want to dig a little deeper in that, because in my mind, I find some people are super spiritual, and they're just, you know, you're not supposed to cry, you're not supposed to be upset. You know, you're just supposed to keep your focus on God. Like, things aren't supposed to hurt you. And, yes, you are supposed to keep your focus on God. But things and situations and circumstances, they break your heart no matter what. So in your answer, you kind of do recommend crying, just getting it out before God. I mean, he understands, but there's nothing wrong with crying and acknowledging to God that it hurts, right? Wrong.
Absolutely. You're right. And I also said get with somebody that will co-sign with what I just said. Go to them, find a friend, preacher, or something. Get on the bus, take a bus ride with a stranger. Tell them all about it. If that's what it takes, but you have to get it out. You have to realize that God made us human, yes, and he made us with emotions. Right. And as I've often told you and members of my church or anyone I chat with, emotions were made by God. We all have them. And there's nothing wrong with responding. It's really not bad having emotions. It's how you respond to the emotion. Example, I may feel like taking a gun and blowing your head off, whoever you are. I may feel like that. That's right. How I'm feeling, angry, upset, frustrated, or whatever. I may feel like I want to get vengeance. Okay, there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. It's how I respond to the feeling. Right. So if I feel like it, and then I go get a gun or a knife, and I carry that act out. Now, we know that's off. That's wrong. That's going to be handled by the authorities, et cetera, et cetera. So we have natural emotions. We laugh, we cry, you know, we get excited, we get depressed. But listen, feelings are neither right nor wrong. It's how you respond. It's what you do about that feeling. That answer your question?
Yeah. So this brings me to another question. Is there a difference between a broken heart and being broken, brokenness?
Definitely. Usually, again, let me talk about biblically, you know, since we're spiritual people. Consider Oprah and Ruth, even Naomi, three women. Each of them lost the loves of their lives, and each responded differently. Oprah went on back to her folks, or stayed where they were, whichever. She went back to her family, her kindred. Ruth, on the other hand, decided, I'm going to stay and support my mother-in-law. And she said, your people shall be my people. She said, your God, see, it depends on God, shall be my God. She said, where thou lodgest what? I will lodge. So here we have now Naomi on the other side, on the other hand, did return to her hometown And when the women came out to greet her and all, she said, "Don't call me Naomi," which means my joy.
Right.
"I went out happy and I've come back bitter." She said, "Call me Mara," which means bitter soul.
Okay.
So again, here we have, there is a difference. Now, those three people, young ladies and women, experience brokenheartedness.
Okay.
You follow? Okay. That's one thing, aspect. When someone is broken, I like to think that their spirit, you can be broken and depressed, or you can be distressed and it not be your heart that's broken. Nobody had to die, you understand? It may be a matter of losing your job.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? It may be some other trauma that you've experienced that breaks you.
Okay.
Hurricane, the people, let's just say, that have experienced these terrible losses in nature are broken. Some of them are. You know?
Right.
So there is a difference in having your heart broken and just being broken because of circumstances and situations that are beyond your control. And again, the response has to be you pick yourself back up by your bootstraps and say, "Okay, that was a terrible knock, but I'm climbing up. I'm going to handle this with the help of the Lord. I'll be back on my feet." That's one way to handle it. And the other hand is to roll right on over and die. I'm done. I'm done. I ain't going back to work. I ain't going to build no house no more. I'll never have a car. Nah, I'm done. So there is a difference.
Makes sense. So I want to go on to the next question. I want to give you a lighthearted question before I hit the next emotional question. Because I think the next question is going to be kind of lengthy and might take us out to the end of the show, but I really want to get that question answered. So this question says, "My church is serving dinner for Thanksgiving, and they expect me to be there. I really want to be with my family for Thanksgiving. What should I do? Am I wrong for not wanting to serve the homeless to be with my family instead?"
My answer would be no, you're not wrong. Because very often we hear, we preach, we teach, and we accept that your first ministry is your family. And so if you choose, that's the wonderful thing about us as humans, created by God. He gave us choice. So we make our choice. It's better to bow out gracefully. "I'm not able to be with you at this time. I'm going to spend the time with my family, my mom, my dad, whomever. But I will support the effort. Here's my $100. Here's a case of sodas. Here's a case of water." You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
You may not do one thing, but you can do something else that says, "I am in agreement. I am in support of the ministry to the homeless."
Oh, that makes sense. I mean, if you can't be there, you can support.
Right.
And sometimes you just, you know, want to minister to yourself. I mean, people around people who I want to laugh with, and no disrespect.
No disrespect.
For the other
and,
people.
And it's better, really, to go ahead and just decline. And even if it's not convenient to give or donate or whatever, tell them, "I'm sorry, it's just not convenient for me to do this, that, or the other, whatever is required at this time, but I'll pray for you." It's better to be truthful and upfront than to be deceitful or to go there with a grudge and an attitude, because I really don't want to be here. You follow me?
Right.
So it's better just to bow out gracefully, and you don't have to feel condemned or guilty.
Right. Okay. So I understand, like, you know, maybe people are homeless, they have no family, and I do, and yet I can't take away a few minutes or a couple hours of my time to go be with them to help them because I want to go and enjoy my family. But then additionally, maybe there's some work that she can do the night before.
Exactly.
That might be of good assistance as well. Mm-hmm. Can't be with you on Thursday, on Thanksgiving, but I can help you out. Even the week, picking up food or helping cooking or something,
exactly.
There are the things that you can do to help.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question. It's a loaded question, and I really felt like the burden of the person who's going through the situation. So let's read it. It's loaded. It says, my parents divorced when I was a young child. My father has recently remarried. His new spouse is okay. However, whenever there is something to celebrate my father, the new wife takes preference over us with her children, who are not biologically my father's. And she makes my siblings and I take a back seat. How should I address this? And I'll reread the question. How can I address this with my father without him feeling like I just don't like his new wife? Should I form a relationship with the wife? And if I should, how?
Okay.
So you can jump in anywhere you want.
Well, I would say in all things, let us pray. Pray about it.
Okay.
But I would say my thought is, I've been confronted with situations very similar to this in more instances than I care to think about. It can be very, very hurtful,
right,
to both parents, whether you've lost your mother or lost one of your parents through death, separation, or divorce.
Right.
And I like the phrase that says, it's complicated.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like the little fellow says, Mom, I got a situation. I like that.
Right.
But we have to be mature. And here's the real deal. If you spent any time at all with either parent, because it could be the father or the mother,
mm-hmm.
who has remarried, you know, but they know you. They should know you. And if they don't, and yet I heard you say they want to have or have had a relationship with this parent. Okay. Then being honest, open, transparent, and truthful, not hurtful. You can tell your parent just how you feel and put the ball in her or his court. This is what's happening. This is what I feel. This is what I'm seeing and experiencing from your spouse. You know, I'm always for let's communicate. Let's talk it out. And you don't have to address the other spouse or his spouse and be rude or nasty. You can just talk to your parent. Now, if your parent doesn't know how to handle it, ask him, would you like to address it, or would you like for me to address them?
That's interesting. I think the concern is addressing the father without him feeling as the person does not like the new wife.
Again, transparency says, I really think she's a great person. Well, I don't think she's a great person.
Exactly.
You don't have to be hurtful. Remember, I said don't be hurtful. You can be, you know, you can express your feelings, which may be hurting you, but you can express it in love, that I love you. And I've noticed, I think you're really very happy with so-and-so, or vice versa. Mom, I see you're really happy with this person. And they'll say, yes, I am, or no, I'm not, or whatever. Or they just may listen. But then you can say, I feel left out. Well, I'm not sure how telling in this equation. I mean, I think they would rather know and try to help you fit in. Now, the response may be, look, don't worry about it. Forget her. It's me and you. Can you rock and roll with me and you? Or they may say, let me talk to her. Okay. But again, then the other, there is another approach where if you see, observe, notice your children, be attentive. What type of relationship does her children or the spouse's children, what type of relationship do they have? Maybe you want to befriend them and kind of work your way around. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to blend the family and not bump heads, as it were?
I hear you. I'm just struggling a little bit with this because, you know, sometimes, and I think you have good suggestions. However, I think a lot of them are based on the good point, because sometimes either the male and the woman, especially the woman a lot of times, they get so strung out, they so into who they love, you just trying to tear down, or if they mention it to their wife, you just trying to tear down, or they can't see it. So then what do you do? They can't see it because they're so in love. How do you deal with that? How can you permeate that? How can you penetrate through that?
I initially said they should. I'm thinking that either parent, the biological parent, should know their child. You know?
But when they're in love, you know people who've been blinded by love, they don't see nothing wrong, they don't hear anything wrong, everything else is just somebody trying to tear them down, tear a relationship down. And I kind
of... Well, then, like I said, you know, everybody's not like me, maybe it's not like you, where I would just address it head on. But you might have to, and they may be a little, what's the word I want to use, timid or intimidated and not want to step up and speak to the parents, the step-parent themselves. But somewhere along the line, you have to observe the whole thing, lay it out to your dad or to the parent, and you just might have to take a step back. And
yeah.
Like
yeah.
And just do, like I said, you and your dad have your time together. You know, ask him, set aside, you know, I don't want to impose. I feel that it's an imposition when I come to your house. Let's meet at our house for breakfast, Dad. And that's your time with him or with you and your siblings.
Yeah, because I would have great, I can't explain to you how great my issue would be if they're taking, the wife is having, taken preference with her children over me, and they're not even biologically his. I probably shouldn't even say what I would do on this radio, because that's so majorly hurtful.
It is. And that's why I did say you need to observe the relationship that parent has with her children. Because, see, remember, she may have issues with her previous relationship. And she may be trying to comfort and overprotect and overcompensate with her children for the same reasons. You follow me?
I do, but I don't really care. You know, why would I care about that? Like, just don't mistreat me. I would have an issue with that. That's my father. Handle your issue, your ex, and stop. You know, I don't know how I would deal with that too good. I don't think I could, especially if the children notice it and they think it's funny. Then what do you do?
You either address it or you take a step back, because you really don't want to go up there with loaded guns and start blasting.
I would, but you're not.
I'm so sure. I am so sure. That's not necessarily the best way, I'm telling you. Again, you may just have to do a little separation and take time to be with your dad and make special you know. And the other thing is try to win the person over. You know, don't alienate them. Now, they've alienated you. Two rights, two wrongs don't make a right.
But it sure will make you feel better, I think.
Well, by this shall all men know.
Oh, yeah.
That ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. If you love your father, you want him to be happy. And if he's happy, what you gonna say about it? Walk away.
I guess I don't have, you know, I just feel so bad for the kids. Like, they shouldn't lose a parent because
you do understand that you don't live in a perfect world.
I do, but shit. All right. What? Okay, so, and another question, side question. At any point, should the mother or the divorced the father? Or
and that may be that's a viable option. And again, we have to consider the age of the children and how long they've been separated or whatever all has gone down. You understand? It's more difficult for a teenager or a child to understand and accept these things that I've just addressed than an adult. Somebody has to be the adult in these situations.
Oh.
So if the biological parent finds it necessary to step in and say, well, I've got to take our child, our son or our daughter to a psychiatrist because they're upset by all of this, or a psychologist or whatever, by all means, and you will pay for it. Oh, I'm on the air. Right?
Yes, you are on the air. Yeah.
You might have to, you know, bring it down a little bit, but just give him good understanding. And again, if he knows you, he gonna handle it because he don't want to deal with you or the your mother or your father.
Yeah, I would think that would be a solution. I don't know how well that would work if they're adults. If they're adult child, I probably would handle it differently. But if they're adult child,
yeah,
and you think getting their other parent involved to address the father or, you know, the other spouse is okay as an adult?
I think so, because very often people separate and divorce. They've outgrown each other. They still love the Lord. Or sometimes they're too bitter themselves. Sometimes that's what causes the bitterness, too, that the divorced spouse, the spouse that's been left alone and has not regrouped and collected, sometimes they cause the bitterness. So you can't always fix, count on that either.
Right.
And sometimes you just really, really... church people very often don't want to consider, but we need to consider therapy. Family therapy helps situation.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, I'm sure that will help. Well, that's all the time we have for these questions. I hope I answered the questions for everyone as detailed as we could answer them, and especially the last one, because that just broke my heart. As you can tell, I was kind of sensitive to that one. I didn't have that issue, but it just wouldn't make me feel good. So I hope that we've answered those questions, and we might have to answer the rest of the questions next week. But thank you all for listening. Find your moment, and I'll talk to you next week. And Pastor Porter, be with us next week. Have a good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.